Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 17th and the only 17th episode of Tavern Tussle. How well would your first level party run a tavern? Is Waterdeep really the thriving city it seems to be? Find all that out and more in this week's episode of Tavern Tussle. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another week of Tavern Tussle. As always, I am your host, Cam Bams, and it's almost here on the 7th of September at your local game store or on D&D Beyond, Dragon Heist, Waterdeep, or Waterdeep, Dragon Heist is coming to you. I did not get a review copy because I am a lowly podcaster with no connections, so I'm going to have to wait until this weekend, until I get my claws sunk into it. But this week, I'm going to go through a primer of sorts. I have scoured the internet for all the information that I can get, and so I'm going to share that with you in case you've been living under a rock, or perhaps you just weren't aware of how soon this product was coming out. I just want to get a feel for what we know going into this weekend. So this week will be a primer of all the things released before, and then next week I will give an in-depth review and my opinion on Waterdeep Dragon Heist, which I am extremely, extremely excited for. But before that, I will give you an update on our games. So we played Andy's campaign. I'm still playing my Bloodhunter Ilduin. We are now level 9, and it looks like next week could be the big boss battle with the undead necromancer leader guy. So, yeah, interesting way we left off this week, because we fought some kind of undead sea creature who covered us in this gunk. And now my character and Throck can no longer breathe out of water. And we are all covered in some thick mucus that does acid damage if we are out of water. So we shall see how that goes. Because right now we're just kind of swimming in a moat, hoping that it wears off. So we'll find out next week. And then, yeah, once that story arc is done, we're going to take a break from it. And then it is all me. I'll be DMing Waterdeep Dragon Heist because I am so excited. So yeah, and also Karateka's game, I did not play in last week, so I have no update for that, and Karateka's not here, so we'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, let's dive into it. Let's dive into the Waterdeep hype. So there are a couple things you should know before you use your wallets to go and purchase this adventure. This adventure is for levels 1 through 5. However, it is still the $60 in store or $30 on D&D Beyond. And it is also very different because it is an adventure that is an urban romp, kind of. It's like a heist film-esque adventure set in the city of Waterdeep. So it's very different from everything that we've done before. And you have to kind of work around how you're going to deal with that. You have to think about what you're doing in different ways than if you were, you know, doing like Storm King's Thunder, where you're off to stop the giant incursion, or, you know, Tomb of Annihilation, where there's a death curse and there's lots of combat and all this stuff. Like, this seems to be a very, very heavy roleplay experience, which I am totally down for. I am super excited for that. And Waterdeep is one of my favorite cities in the Forgotten Realms, so for it to get this much exposure is super exciting. So the whole premise, from what I can gather, is your party meets Volo at the Yawning Portal, which is a very, very big fixture of the Forgotten Realms, and it is in Waterdeep. I could do an entire episode on just the Yawning Portal, but for brevity's sake, we'll say it's run by a man named Durnham, and he built the Yawning Portal over the entrance to the biggest dungeon known to man, which is Undermountain, also the Dungeon of the Mad Mage, which is coming out November 2nd, which is basically the second half of the Waterdeep storyline. Anyway, this is where your party is introduced to Volo. You do a quest for him, and I'm not spoiling anything by saying that the reward for that quest is the deed to a building in Waterdeep. Now, this is very interesting because automatically your party is given a piece of property that you can then turn into anything you want. I mean, you can make that a tavern, an inn, a blacksmith, an orphanage, a warehouse, whatever you want it to be. Like, your party is giving a piece of property in the city of Waterdeep, so you already have a base of operations, which is very, very interesting. And I'm excited to see what Andy, Kyle, and Aaliyah and Karada could do with that, because it's just going to be crazy, and we'll get to that. But the premise of the story is you find a vast treasure, a very great treasure. I'm not particularly sure if you find it, like you have it and own it, or if you just are aware of it. But that's the whole dragon heist thing. Gold pieces are called dragons in Waterdeep, and your party has to stop an evil entity from finding this treasure, because this amount of money would give them the ability to do terrible, awful things. And no one wants that. And so the responsibility is placed on your shoulders. Why? I don't know. I haven't read the book yet, but we'll see. But it is very interesting to me, because that is a very, very different goal than Adventures Come Before. You know, like Tomb of Annihilation, you know, stop a Serag in the Death Curse, kill him, blah, blah. Storm King's Thunder, stop the giants from uprising, kill them, blah, blah, blah. This is keep away from a big bad guy. And that's just, it just seems interesting, because going in at level one, like, there's no way you are going to be able to take on these villains head to head. They're just too powerful. You are too lowly. Like, it's going to be interesting the way that it plays out. And that's one of the reasons I am very, very excited for it. That being said, you have to think about the kind of character you are making. It is almost more important in Waterdeep Dragon Heist to gear a character towards skills and abilities more so than being just some bloodthirsty barbarian. Like, they're going to need to have some kind of personality. There's going to be role-playing involved. So building that, you know, barbarian who's just bloodthirsty, while that could be fun, it isn't going to lend itself super well to the type of adventure that you're going to be playing through. So you need to really think about what you are bringing to the table and how you can help the party in this kind of setting. Now, I'm not saying combat's not going to happen, because there's going to be plenty of combat. I've seen maps and everything, you know, on the spoilers page of the websites and stuff, but it's not going to be as heavy, and it's not going to be as big of a deal. Like, I really, really, really do think you need to focus your character around a role-playing aspect, have them be good at certain skills, you know, persuasion, intimidation, investigation, insight. All these things are going to be weighted far heavier than how hard you hit someone with a greatsword. So making the right character really is going to be important. Because you will find yourself, if you're playing that bloodthirsty barbarian and the party's at a gala trying to gather information on one of the villains of the story, like, you're not going to have a very good time, because you won't be doing anything. You'll be put in that back burner position of, okay, I'm just going to sit here and wait until I get to hit something. And I'm sure some people will like that. Some people will like, you know, the intrigue of, oh, I'm just the big muscular guy in the back kind of thing. I'll let everyone else talk. And that's fine. I just don't think that it's going to be, you know, a very fun experience if that's all you do the whole time. You just wait until you can hit someone kind of thing. So keep that in mind when you're making your characters. And DMs, make sure your players understand that when you are going to run the adventure. You know, give them a walkthrough of like, hey, this game is going to be different from other games we've done in the past, and you guys need to understand that. And so it'll change the way that whole character creation process goes. Because instead of looking at, oh, you know, I need to make a human with this feat so I can do this, and I'll do massive damage. Like, yeah, like, massive damage always helps when you get to those encounters. But at the end of the day, like, how many encounters are you going to have in the streets of a bustling city with a legal code, which I'll get to later. So just think about it, you know, let your players know about it. Make sure your DM understands what's going on, kind of thing. Like, I don't think this adventure is going to be for everyone, but I think it has such potential to be maybe one of the best adventures we get for 5th edition. Especially because it leads into Undermountain, or the Dungeon of the Mad Mage, which is the biggest dungeon known to man. There's 23 levels in the book, along with Skullport, which is kind of like a dungeon off to the side of the main dungeon, but it has very big lore implications. If you've read novels or know the lore behind the Forgotten Realms, like, Skullport is very important to some individuals in the world. So it's cool to see that. Like, you have a lot to think about as you're playing through Waterdeep, because you can go through Dragon Heist and then, you know, homebrew a campaign from there, or go into adventures from, you know, Tales of the Yawning Portal, the add-on book. It just has, like, random adventures you can slot in. Or you can go directly into Dungeon of the Mad Mage, which is what they kind of want you to do, and that'll lead you through levels 1 through 20, which is what I plan on doing, just because it seems interesting. There's lead-ins in Dragon Heist that lead directly to Dungeon of the Mad Mage, so it just makes sense. So how are you going to structure Waterdeep Dragon Heist? There are 4 different villains. So this game is replayable at least up to 4 times, maybe more if you change the way that things happen, or, you know, do it for different people and the way they interact. But depending on what season it is in the world as you're playing will depend, or it will choose who the villain of the story is. Now, I'm sure you don't have to stick to that, you know, by the book. You can use any villain you want during any season, but there are themes that come up and festivals that go on in the city of Waterdeep that just lend itself more to choosing one villain over another. So getting into those, one of the villains that I'm most excited about is Jarlaxle, and he is kind of considered the autumn villain. He plays a very big role in the Driss Duerden novels written by Arya Salvatore. I highly suggest picking up some of those and reading them, like The Dark Crystal. Jarlaxle plays a very big role in that. So I would definitely start reading those if you want to know more about Jarlaxle, because he is such an interesting character. He is one of the very most powerful male drow, and drow is a society run by women. So he has, you know, power going for him. He's very charismatic. He's a swashbuckling pirate, basically. And I'll be excited to see where he ties into the story of Dragon Heist. Because while Jarlaxle, some see him as like the anti-hero because he does do some good things, he is very, very much a villain. He is a very bad guy. Like, he's not good. So it'll be interesting to see how he works into it. And he'll probably be the villain I use, but I'm not 100% sold. I will have to actually read through it and see, and then I'll decide who I want to use. Or I'll just roll a d4. You know, who knows? Leave it random. The winter villain is Manshun. Now, he is also very, very interesting. He is a very powerful spellcaster. He's also the founder of the Zhentarim, or the Black Network. You know, they also go by the Black Network. And so he is the business. The thing about him is he was killed in a battle years ago, but it turns out he made a dozen clones of himself. And all these clones believe that they are the real Manshun. And so all of these clones want to kill all the other clones. And so this very interesting dynamic. There were the Manshun Wars, where these clones went to war with each other to try to be the only Manshun. And out of the dozen clones that he made, only four of them survived. One of which, tie into Dungeon the Mad Mage, fled to Undermountain with Hallister, who is the Mad Mage. So that could be a very direct tie-in to levels 5 through 20 if you go with Manshun as your villain. Now the Zhentarim are a very powerful network with very strong ties to Waterdeep. And I'm not going to get too deep into it because I plan on doing an in-depth episode on all four of these villains separately. Just because there's so much lore that goes into them, it's kind of hard to fit it all into one episode. But if you know about the Zhentarim or the Black Network, then you understand how devious and how far their reach goes. They played a very big role in Storm King's Thunder. They could have played a big role in Tomb of Annihilation. So they've been around for a while in very many adventures, and it's all kind of coming to a head in Waterdeep Dragon Heist. So it'd be exciting to see what happens there. The Spring villain is my second favorite, I think, and that's the Xanathar. So the Xanathar is different because he's a beholder, and you don't see beholders in the streets very often. He is the leader of the Xanathar's Thieves Guild, so he plays a very prominent role in Waterdeep. He's pretty much the go-to connect for any kind of underground criminal activity that happens in Waterdeep, and I'm sure he's had dealings with the Mask Lords and all that stuff. So he's interesting because he has all this power and reach, but he's a beholder. So he's kind of stuck underground. And to kind of deal with this, you know, loneliness, he has a pet fish that he's very, very protective over, which if you read Xanathar's Guide to Everything, he's on the cover of the book and it talks a little bit about the fish and everything. So it's very interesting because there are little tie-ins that say, like, the fish has died multiple times, but someone always replaces it so the Xanathar doesn't get mad and just I-beam the entire room to death kind of thing. And another interesting point about the Xanathar is he used to run a slave trade out of Skullport, which I said before is a direct tie-in to Dungeon the Mad Mage because Skullport is right next to that dungeon. So that's a very interesting dynamic to where you have this powerful crime boss who used to run a very big operation out of Skullport, and Skullport is a big part of Dungeon the Mad Mage. So that's another good tie-in. Not 100% sure how Jarl Axel ties into the second half of the adventure, but, I mean, I don't know yet. The last villain is actually two villains in one, pretty much. They're the summer villains, and they are the Cassilanters. So these two are very, very influential nobility from Waterdeep. They're very old money, very, you know, well-known in the city of Waterdeep. It's a husband-wife combo. Their names are Victoro and Amalia. They have children and everything. They work in banking and money lending. They are very heavy involved in philanthropy, and they seem to want to help the people of Waterdeep as much as they can, but they are very, very powerful enemies to make. Because once you cross the Cassilanters, you're pretty much done. Because they will bury you politically. They'll probably even bury you physically. Because it turns out the Cassilanters have made a very dark pact with a very, very evil otherworldly being. And that's kind of why they are so prominent. They have very weird powers you wouldn't expect them to have. they are evil incarnate, basically wrapped up in a pretty wrapper. And so they're interesting, but I just don't know enough about the Castle Lanterns to warrant to be super excited to use them as the villain of Waterdeep. As of right now, I'm pretty stuck between Jarlaxle and the Xanathar. Manshoon is very close, though, just because of the tie-in to the Dungeon of the Mad Mage and the fact that there are three of him probably running around Waterdeep, at least one, obviously. And plus, he runs the Zhentarim, so that, you know, that ties into everything, basically. But yeah, I'll probably use Jarlaxle. I'm excited, though. So that was a quick rundown on the four villains of Waterdeep. You can very easily find more information about them online. There's pages and pages on Jarlaxle and Manshoon. Like, it is crazy. So I talked a little bit before about the Code Legal. And this is going to play a very significant role in how your party goes about things while they are in the city of Waterdeep. They have to remember, they're not in the wilderness or retaking some fort, or they're not in a dungeon during this adventure. They are in a city with laws and rules and guards. And they recently released the Code Legal in the last episode of Dragon Plus magazine, so you can get that on the Dungeons & Dragons website. I won't go through the entire thing, but I will go through the punishments. So the Code Legal, the punishment for crimes can include one or more of the following based on the nature of the crime. So the bottom half of the Code Legal is all the different crimes and their suggested punishment for committing those crimes. So your party's not going to go fucking hog wild, crazy, killing people in the streets because they're going to have to pay for the consequences. So the punishments. Number one is death. Death is very likely if your murder hobo party does it too much. Exile is another punishment. You have flogging, and the number of strokes of flogging depends on the crime. Hard labor. So you could have a party member, you know, out for a few days or weeks or even years, depending on how serious the crime is. They'll be subjected to hard labor. So that basically takes that party member out. There's also imprisonment. You know, good old jail. Depends on how serious the crime is, depending on how long it's been in prison. Or you could just have to pay a fine. Or you just have to pay for damage you cause. So I'm assuming, like, you get into a tavern brawl, you break a couple tables and a door. You know, you pay the city a fine, then you pay the tavern keeper for the damages you cause, kind of thing. And then there's also an edict. So that's forbidding the convicted from doing something. A violation of an edict can result in imprisonment, hard labor, and or a fine. So basically you are barred from doing this particular thing. So if you are an adventurer and you want to go down to the Dungeon of the Mad Mage, they can suggest an edict that forbids you from going or stepping into the Yharnam Portal, kind of thing. And then if you do step in the Yharnam Portal, then you have, you know, you have to go through a different kind of punishment. So yeah, and they went very detailed into the types of crimes because they know you guys. They know you're going to kill someone in the streets. They know you're going to run away from a guard. They know you're going to try to steal something from a merchant. They know these things. And so they have suggested punishments for these crimes. And that just goes to show you how different this adventure is going to be from the ones that came before it. It is going to be a role-playing bonanza with combat on the side, which I am super stoked for. So, hey, get used to it. This is our adventure for now until November 2nd when Dungeon the Mad Mage. Then it's all the combat you want all the time. 23 levels of chaos and mayhem. And you have to remember that Waterdeep is a very big, bustling city. People from all over the Forgotten Realms and even other planes of existence come to Waterdeep and the Yharnam Portal. Mordenkainen from Ravenloft you know, Morden Cain's Tome of Foes. He has been seen in the Yawning Portal before. So, I mean, you could pretty much pull, as a DM, anyone you want to from the D&D universe can be found at the Yawning Portal or in Waterdeep. So it just leads to so many adventure hooks and so many things you can do. Like, there's, you do not have to go directly into Dungeon of the Mad Mage after Dragon Heist. You could very well just put a prominent figure at the Yawning Portal after Dragon Heist is completed, and you have months, years of adventures to go on from the people that could show up there. It's up to your imagination. Do what you will. So I, for one, am very excited for Waterdeep Dragon Heist. I hope you guys are too. This primer doesn't even scratch the surface, and I realize that. There's so much to talk about in this little one, levels 1 to 5 campaign. So I hope you guys enjoyed this little primer. I'll get the book on Friday, and I will read it all weekend, and I will have a very in-depth review episode for you next week. I promise. I hope you all had a wonderful Labor Day this past weekend. As always, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And as always, I hope you have a wonderful week.